Chapter 4. In his fair niche above the unslumbering sea, that sentries up and down all night, all day, from cove to promontory, from nest to bay, the fates have fitly bidden that he should be pillowed eternally. Too, it was as though a garland of red roses had fallen about the hood of some smug nun when irresponsibly dropped, as from the sun, in fault of numbers freaked with musical closes, upon Victoria's formal middle time his leaves of rhythm and rhyme. 3. Oh, that far morning of a summer day when, down a terraced street whose pavements lay glassing the sunshine into my bent eyes, I walked and read with a quick glad surprise new words, in classic guise. IV, the passionate pages of his earlier years, fraught with hot sighs, sad laughters, kisses, tears, fresh fluted notes, yet from a minstrel who blew them not naively, but as one who knew full well why thus he blew. V, I still can hear the brabble, and the roar of those thy tunes, O still one, now passed through that fitful fire of tongues then entered new. Their power is spent like spindrift on this shore, thine swells yet more and more. Vi, his singing mistress verily was no other than she the lesbian, she the music mother of all the tribe, that feel in melodies, who leapt, love-anguished, from the Leucadian steep into the rambling world encircling deep which hides her where none sees. Vi, and one can hold in thought that nightly here his phantom may draw down to the water's brim, and hers come up to meet it, as a dim lone shine upon the heaving hydrosphere, and mariners wonder as they traverse near, unknowing of her and him. Vi, one dreams him sighing to her spectral form. O teacher, where lies hid thy burning line? Where are those songs, O poetess divine, whose very arts are love incarnate in? And her smile back. Isopal true and warm, sufficient now are thine. X, so here, beneath the waking constellations, where the waves peal their everlasting strains, and their dull subterranean reverberations shake him, when storms make mountains of their plains him once their pure and sad improvisations, and deft as wind to cleave their frothy manes I leave him, while the daylight gleam declines upon the capes and chines. Bonchurch, 1910. A plaint to man, when you slowly emerged from the den of time, and gained percipience as you grew, and fleshed you fair out of shapeless slime, wherefore, O man, did there come to you the unhappy need of creating me a form like your own for praying to? My virtue, power, utility, within my maker must all abide, since none in myself can ever be. One thin as a shape on a lantern's light shone forth in the dark upon some dim sheet, and by none, but its showman vivified. Such a forced device, you may say, is meet for easing a loaded heart at whiles. Man needs to conceive of a mercy seat somewhere above the gloomy aisles of this willful world, or he could not bear the irk no local hope beguiles. But since I was framed in your first despair, the doing without me has had no play in the minds of men when shadows scare. And now that I dwindle day by day beneath the deicide eyes of seers in a light that will not let me stay, and tomorrow the whole of me disappears, the truth should be told, and the fact be faced, that had best been faced in earlier years. The fact of life with dependence placed on the human heart's resource alone, in brotherhood bonded close and graced, with loving kindness fully blown, and visioned help unsought, unknown. 1909-10. God's funeral. I saw a slowly stepping train lined on the brows, scoop-eyed and bent and hoar, following in files across a twilight plain a strange and mystic form the foremost bore. Too, and by contagious throbs of thought or latent knowledge that within me lay, and had already stirred me, I was wrought to consciousness of sorrow even as they. 3. The foreborn shape, to my blurred eyes, at first seemed manlike, and anon to change to an amorphous cloud of marvelous size, at times endowed with wings of glorious range. IV, and this phantasmal variousness ever possessed it as they drew along. Yet throughout all it symboled nonetheless PNC vast and loving kindness strong. V, almost before I knew I bent towards the moving columns without a word, they, growing in bulk and numbers as they went, struck out sick thoughts that could be overheard. V, five-man projected figure, of late imaged as we, Dinel who shall survive? Whence came it, we were tempted to create one whom we can no longer keep alive? Via raiming him jealous, fierce, at first, we gave him justice as the ages rolled, will to bless those by circumstance accursed, and long-suffering, and mercies manifold. Via, ND, tricked by our own early dream and need of solace, we grew self-deceived, our making soon our maker did we deem, and what we had imagined we believed. X, ill, in time's stalest stealthy swing, uncompromising rude reality mangled the monarch of our fashioning, who quavered, sank, and now has ceased to be. X, O, toward our myth's oblivion, darkling, and languid-lipped, we creep and grope sadlier than those who wept in Babylon, whose Zion was a still-abiding hope. Zai, how sweet it was in years far high to start the wheels of day with trustful prayer, to lie down liegely at the eventide, and feel a blessed assurance he was there. Zai, and he who or, what shall fill his place? Whither will wanderers turn distracted eyes for some fixed star, to stimulate their pace towards the goal of their enterprise? Z, some in the background then I saw, sweet women, youths, men, all incredulous, who chimed as one. His figure is of straw, this requiem mockery. Still he lives to us. Ziv, I could not prop their faith. And yet many I had known. With all I sympathized. And though struck speechless, I did not forget, that what was mourned for, I too, once had prized. XV, still, how to bear such loss I deem the insistent question for each animate mind, and gazing, to my growing sight there seemed a pale, yet positive gleam low down behind. XVI, whereof, to lift the general night, a certain few who stood aloof had said, see you upon the horizon, that small light swelling somewhat? Each mourner shook his head. XVII, and they composed a crowd of whom some were right good, and many nigh the best. Thus dazed and puzzled twixt the gleam, and gloom mechanically I followed with the rest. 1908-10. Spectres that grieve, it is not death that harrows us, they lipped, the soundless cell is in itself relief, for life is an unfenced flower, venomed and nipped at unawares, and at its best but brief. The speakers, sundry phantoms of the gone, had risen like filmy flames of phosphor dye, as if the palest of sheet lightnings shone from the sward near me, as from a nether sky. And much surprised was I that, spent and dead, they should not, like the many, be at rest, but stray as apparitions. Hence I said, why, having slipped life, hark you back distressed? We are among the few death sets not free, the hurt, misrepresented names, who come at each year's brink, and cry to history to do them justice, or go past them dumb. We are stripped of rights, our shames lie unredressed, our deeds in full anatomy are not shown, our words in morsels merely are expressed on the scriptured page, our motives blurred, unknown. Then all these shaken slighted visitants sped into the vague, and left me musing there on fames, that well might instance what they had said, until the New Year's dawn strode up the air. Ah, are you digging on my grave? Ah, are you digging on my grave, my loved one? Planting rue? Oh, yesterday he went to wed? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.